Welcome to the King's Hour. My name is Antoine King, and on this show, I'll be playing some of my favorite hip-hop and R&B songs. So sit back, relax, turn the volume up, and tell a friend, baby. Let's get it. Yeah, Hot 702.5, this is the King's Hour. You know how we do every Saturday for 1 to 2. Thank y'all for tuning in. I really appreciate it. We got a great show lined up for you today. I have the daughter of Raymond Lewis, the basketball legend from Los Angeles. His daughter, my cousin, is going to call in. We're going to talk about, you know, all the things that went into making his documentary, which is available now on Amazon, it's on iTunes. Just go to RaymondLewis.com and you'll see all the different places you can stream or even buy the movie. But it's an incredible documentary. It's already won a lot of awards. And it's not just for people who like basketball. You know, I get it. If you like basketball, of course you're going to tune in. But even if you don't like sports, the story is great. The story is a great story. Because Raymond Lewis loved basketball. He put his heart and soul into it. And he became a staple of Los Angeles basketball. They still talk about him today. If you're from L.A. and you know about basketball, then you've heard of the name Raymond Lewis, Ray Lou. So we're going to talk to her today. But before we go to that, I wanted to talk about Brittany Griner. Hopefully, I'm saying her name right. Brittany Griner, WNBA basketball player who was just released from a Russian prison. We traded out a prisoner that we had from Russia. We had an arms dealer that we had in our jail, and we traded that dealer to get Brittany Griner back home. And I see people complaining and all that stuff, saying, oh, why this, why that? And we need to stop doing all that. You know, just be grateful that she's able to get back home to her family. And enjoy life, man. You wouldn't want to be in that position over some THC oil, whatever she had. They gave her 10 years for that. And she may not even known she had it on her. Some THC oil out of the country. But you know, their laws are different in different places. But hey, I'm glad she's back home and everything's okay with her. So what else been going on? We got a lot going on, a lot of political stuff that I ain't gonna get into right now. You know, we gonna have a good time and have some good vibes. But of course, my Lakers suffered a heartbreaking loss last night. I was hoping they pulled it off, but you know, they missed some free throws. The game went to overtime and they just couldn't make up the amount of points that the Philadelphia 76ers put up. So, you know, but I will say they are fighting. They are looking better. So I will give them that. You know what I mean? The Raiders lost the day before that. I don't even want to talk about that. But because we're going to have a great show today. Like I said, we're going to have a great show. We got Camila Lewis coming on. We had a great conversation about, you know, just the documentary and everything that she's doing. And there was something else I wanted to bring up. Oh, the new music. SZA, the artist SZA, signed to Top Dog Entertainment. She just released an album, Mount Westmore, the E-40, Too Short. You know, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, they just released an album together called Mount Westmore. And myself, I just released my video for the song Roses. If you follow me online, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, you know the song Roses. I just put out a video to it. And I also released a song yesterday called Good Girls, a storytelling joint, a hip hop joint, something that'll make you really think. But and that I'm coming with a video for that as well. We got a lot of stuff lined up for 2023. So y'all be prepared. We taking everything to the next level, even with this show. But I'm very, very appreciative of everybody's support, everybody that hit me up, whether it's regarding the show or the music I'm doing. And we got a lot more interviews on the way, but let's get into this one. You know, Camila Lewis, let's bring her on in. Yeah.
Camila Lewis, daughter of the legend, L.A. legend, Raymond Lewis. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, family. This is my cousin. Man, it's so good to be able to talk to you. We finally get to do this. You know, I'm excited. The documentary is released on streaming platforms now, like on Prime. And how are you feeling about it?
Man, it's been a long journey. You know, I started shortly after he passed away in 2001. It just sort of started with a fan who is Dean Prater wanting to, you know, chronicle his stats on a website. And that was about 2004, 2005. And we didn't have any idea that it would turn into a documentary at that time. So I'm feeling good. I feel like it's long overdue, but worth the wait.
Absolutely.
I'm feeling great about it.
Absolutely. And you know, me just growing up in LA, growing up in Los Angeles, there's not a barbershop that you go into where his name is not uttered when you're talking about Los Angeles basketball. I mean, your father was a big, big deal to just Los Angeles, the culture. You know, even all the NBA players that talk about him, that know about Raymond Lewis. Ray Lou, you know, I was blessed enough to be able to be around him and be able to talk to him and get to play around with his trophies and, you know, be a Rashad. Shout out to Rashad.
Yes.
And just to know as I got older how much of an impact he made on Los Angeles. I mean, it's amazing the things that he was able to do. And this documentary, I was able to watch it. For those of you who are listening now, do yourself a favor. It's called Raymond Lewis, LA Legend, a documentary film. It's on Prime. It's on iTunes. You can buy it. You can rent it. There's different ways to view it. So go ahead. There's a website, RaymondLewis.com. RaymondLewis.com.
Yes.
Especially all my sports, my basketball fans. Y'all check it out. If you never heard the name, you're missing out. So let's get into more of Raymond's story.
Okay.
You know, coming from Berman Day, he goes to Cal State LA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was recruited, if you know, correct me if I'm wrong, by Jerry Tarkanian as well.
Yes, he was actually, he had 250 college scholarships. So he was recruited by some of the top colleges. In 1973, I believe. It was 73 or 71 when he graduated, I believe. But he was recruited. He had over 250 college scholarships. At the time, Long Beach State was a powerhouse. It had Jerry Tarkanian, and that's where he was slated to go because of some questionable recruiting tactics. You know, we got to remember that this is the early 70s, if you look at the film, you'll see the makeup of what the NBA looked like back then. This was before, you know, the three-point line. So right. We're talking about a long time ago. And we're talking about a 19-year-old kid as well, you know. Just as you talked about, you know, playing around with his trophies and getting older and knowing what a big deal he was. Me too. You know, I'm his daughter and didn't realize what a legend he was and some of the things that he went through. But to get back to what you were asking, some unfair recruiting practices, some questionable recruiting practices, he ended up at Cal State LA. A lot of times you hear about the athlete and some of the things that they took or, you know, were gifted. And they're painted as this villain. You never hear about the person on the other side and who's giving it. You know what I mean? So this documentary kind of explores that. It kind of opens up the floodgates so we can talk about it, you know, because it's going on now too, but you know, we just talked about it a lot in the documentary.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's something very important to bring up, especially, you know, me being from LA, thinking about the whole Reggie Bush scenario and how they, you know, just drug his name through the mud. And USC was building a lot of buildings when Reggie Bush was at that school. He made them a lot of money, but
right,
you know.
So I mean, in doing this film, I went to, you know, shout out to my team, Dean Prater, who's one of the producers, Ryan Pelosky, who's the director, and just an overall film guy. But I went to Cal State LA to just poke my head around. We were looking for film footage, which is what took so long for the documentary to be made. And they were selling a Raymond Lewis jersey for $250.
Oh my gosh.
This is crazy, you know? So again, no one knew who Cal State LA was, and Raymond started to go there pretty much like Bourbon Day and put them on the map. But it's a different level at the college, you know, collegiate, on that type of platform. They were able to make a lot of money from Raymond.
Wow. So you said when you went up there, they were still selling his jersey?
Yeah, they still have a Raymond Lewis jersey for $250. This is probably 5-6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had no idea. I had no idea. My family hadn't. You know, our family had no idea. You didn't know.
No, I had no clue.
Right. So, yeah, that's just how deep it goes. So imagine, you know, what they threw at him at 19 in the early 70s. You know, yes, he made some unfortunate decisions about his life, but who would have thought, you know, because of these decisions as a 19-year-old kid, because of some of the decisions he made, I believe some of the later practices were put into place to protect college athletes to a degree and to protect high school athletes to a degree. He would, you know, going straight from high school to the NBA, he couldn't have done that. There were certain regulations and rules that didn't allow him to do that either.
Right. So, if I'm not mistaken, he also couldn't even play, like, when he got to college, he had to play as a freshman first, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, he had to play as a freshman. And then again, you know, once he signed, after Cal State LA, and we get into the first round draft pick and goes to the Sixers, decides to, again, because of some good faith and him being naive, him being young, and just not trusting of the whole process. I think a lot of because of what happened at Cal State LA, but, you know, the 76ers held him to a contract to he was well into his 40s and 50s. He could not go play anywhere else. No one, I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, you signed the contract, let's play. But if he didn't, if they weren't going to renegotiate it in good faith as they promised him, hey, let's cut ties with this dude and let him go somewhere else. Because he made other teams, you know?
Right, right. And just to fill everyone in. So Raymond Lewis, he gets drafted by the 76ers. He gets drafted in the first round, correct?
Correct.
And someone else gets drafted, a well-known coach. He goes by the name of Doug Collins. If you're an NBA fan, you know who Doug Collins is. Mm-hmm. Raymond severely outplayed him on every level, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it Raymond's idea to renegotiate, or was it his agent that said, hey, let's try to sit down with them? Or was it just
Raymond. From my gatherings and from what I remember him telling me, it was him. He just could not understand how they called Doug Collins the $1 million baby. You know, he was making us, you know, six figures for 4 years. And he was getting, you know, maybe 50,000 or 45,000. I could be off on the numbers, but something just vastly different than him. And he didn't think that was fair, or it wasn't. We know now that wasn't fair. So Raymond made a fuss about it and talked to the owners, and they agreed, you know, in good faith handshake type of deal, to renegotiate the contract if he went out and did what he said he could do.
So so that happens. They sit down, they agree to renegotiate, and you're saying that the 76ers at first they were okay with it?
Absolutely. They were okay with it. Well, that's what they said. You know, we all know now, you know, that wasn't very smart of him to go in and do any kind of legal dealings with without an attorney present, right? But again, we have to paint the picture. This was the early 70s with an African-American 19-year-old guy, you know? So who did he have to kind of go and say, hey, well, you know, he couldn't say Kobe Bryant did it this way, or LeBron did it this way, or Dr. J did it this way. He was ahead of his time. So he thought in good faith, if you say you're going to renegotiate, if I do what I say I'm supposed to do, I do it, and you don't, then, you know, therein lies the problem.
And then at the time, that, you know, it's fresh about the 60s.
Yep.
You know, we're just leaving the 60s. A lot of racial stuff.
Right.
Which still was going on today. But I'm sure then it was crazy.
It was way worse. And if you, like I said, if you watch the film, look at the pictures, look at the makeup, look at some of the Sixers camp footage, and you can see the vast difference in what players look like today, you know. And we actually got an award. We were one of the six finalists in the 2022 Library of Congress Ken Burns Prize for Film in Washington, D.C., because of all of the historical footage and pictures that were in this film.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm looking at some of the cover of the documentary, and I'm seeing Pan African Film Festival. I'm seeing Sports Film Festival. It was at the Black Harvest Film Festival, Library of Congress, yeah. Ken Burns Prize for Film. Like, this is something very, very good for not just, you know, NBA fans and people who love sports, but young people.
Yeah,
for young people to see. And, you know, they may not have even knew who he was, but he influenced a lot of people.
He did.
He
made some of these rules and regulations change on how they viewed, you know, college players and what their worth was. And you know, unfortunately, he lost his life and didn't get to play at the level that he should have in a game that he gave his life for. Basketball, then family. Raymond loved basketball, as we both know, right? But this is definitely an honor and a story of love for me and an honor for him to just chronicle how much he dedicated his life to this game and how much he influenced the generations after. And I think that they should know what he went through and what he sacrificed.
Absolutely. And the fact that his name is still being brought up today, people are still interested in his story. The impact is still there.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately, your father passed away in 2001, but it's about to be 2023 and people are still saying his name. Like, made that type of impact on people's lives. And I know firsthand, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I wear his T-shirt in the airport. I do a lot of traveling now for all these different film festivals and awards and even just back and forth to LA, and I get questioned all the time. Is that Raymond Lewis? How do you know him? Where'd you get that shirt? So, you know, I'm still in awe about how many people across and internationally too that know him. Basketball is a love language and an international language that he always used to tell me about, and now I get to see it myself. You know, so it's an honor. It's definitely an honor for me, and I'm happy for him.
I'm just so happy the story is out. You know, every time I would see you, I would ask about it. I'm like, what's going on? Like, we gotta put his name out there. You know, just so people that is younger, you know, whether it be my children, other people's children, they can see it and be like, whoa, okay. Right. This guy was something different. And to see the people that you have in the documentary speaking on him, whether it be Michael Cooper, Reggie Theus, Jerry Tarkanian is in this film as well.
We got the last interview, his last interview, and he has a chapter in his book, Running Rebel, on Raymond, and I didn't know that. So I got to get his book and read it, and there's some other books that chronicle Raymond's, for instance, his jump shot. You know, there's a book out there on Amazon, I forget the young guy's name, but that totally talks about him mastering this jump shot. And me and you both know that he never missed because we saw it. But, you know, before we were thought of, this is what this man was doing. So it's a great honor. It's an honor. I'm happy. It's not just a basketball story. It's one for the ages, you know. And I'm glad it's out there.
I'm so happy that it's out there as well. And speaking for me, you know, being that we were living next door to you guys at one point, you know, we were right next door. Me and Rashad was around each other every day.
Yep.
And so for, you know, even as I got older, for me to be able to go back home to Watson and try to pull him out the house and let's go to 109th, let's shoot around.
Yeah.
And sometimes he would come. Sometimes he'd be like, okay, let's go.
Yep.
And he would start shooting and he just wouldn't miss. It almost seemed like he would shoot looking at the sky sometime.
Right.
He just knew exactly where to put the ball. It was amazing to see, even as he got older, you know. And I was even around when Slam Magazine did the write-up on him, you know.
Yeah.
I bought that magazine. I took it to school. I think I was going to Westchester High at the time, showing everybody like, oh man, this is my Uncle Ray. Look at this, man. Like I was bragging on him like crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Nike does the billboard in LA.
And why?
Because what was going on around that time when Nike was coming over to the house? What was going on?
I mean, it's you know, we didn't get to go into it too much in the documentary, but I just remember growing up that there was always some type of Nike representative around or you know, some type of agent around. Even when Raymond was in his 30s and 40s, it was he had all these sports people like gravitating to him. He had a AAU team, the Raymond Lewis team that played in Venice Beach there. It was just, it's like he, you know, this is what he was put on earth to do, you know, basketball. And so it's the craziest thing to me that they were still so heavily interested, even after it was clear that my dad was no longer NBA, you know, material. They were still just, his name would ring and his legend would ring. And with me doing the research on this and my partners coming to me with different stories and things of that nature, I now see why, you know, he's a legend. He's a streetball legend. He's a basketball legend, and legends never die. So, you know, that's pretty much the gist of what I think and why people were still so interested in who he was.
That is so true, because you said legends never die. And the fact that, you know, I watch other documentaries and they may be about another player.
Right.
And his name still comes up, you know. And for everybody listening, this story is so important. It's more important than you think. It's not just about basketball. Mm-hmm. It's about somebody who loves something so much. Mm-hmm. Like he loved it.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the money. That's not how he got good, because he was chasing money.
No.
He loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He played it as much as you can play it.
Yeah. And I mean, and even as a young child, he was good at multiple sports. And then he just put his entire everything into basketball. So he loved it. And he knew it at a very young age. He knew what he was going to do. And he did it, you know. So I'm proud of him for that. I'm proud of the stance that he took. It took me a minute to get there because I didn't understand it when we were younger. And
I want to talk about that, too. You know? I want to talk about that.
Yeah. That's
okay. So I know, you know, like we're coming up, we don't really understand.
No.
And when you love something so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the dream that you have worked for your whole life, you thinking, okay, I got this.
Right.
I didn't work to this point. I'm good at it. I know I can, I'm about to change everybody's life.
Right.
And it doesn't come.
Right.
It feels like it's slipping away. But I have children. I have a wife.
Right.
How did that affect you guys, man, as the years went on?
Man, it was hard, cousin. I mean, it was hard. You know, we went from living in Long Beach to then we had to, you know, track back to Watts. And, you know, the quality of life went down. And I didn't know. I was young. I was just trying to be in survival mode. So I didn't really get a chance to, you know, now I'm a 47-year-old woman and I understand about mental health issues and having a passion and having a dream and all of that. I didn't get that then. I was just kind of like, hey, you know, this big time basketball player, we should not be living like this, you know?
Right.
So, and then I had a flip side. I could come up north to my maternal grandparents and it was like, hey, this is how life is supposed to be, you know? So I was mad at Raymond for a long time, but he didn't talk about it, which I know now was just pure pain, out of pure pain, until I got into my adulthood. And right before he passed away, did I start finding out a lot more and more details into the story. And of course, after he passed, I started to find out much more. And I see that he made a huge sacrifice, and I understand, I forgive, and I respect what he did.
Right, right. I mean, as we get older, you see how hard life can hit you.
Yeah.
Right?
And especially in that era. Look at that era. That was the crack era. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It was just all bad all the way around. You know?
Especially where we were living. I mean, in Watts, it tore that whole neighborhood upside down.
Yep. Yep. It sure did.
So I definitely get that. But that's just real interesting that you guys were, you know, you had a father that's, he was heartbroken.
Yeah, he was heartbroken. And no amount of how much he loved my mom, you know, he loved my mother, you know, and him were married 17 years, have me and my brother, you know, they were in love. They were madly in love. And he said it was love at first sight when he saw her at Long Beach State, you know, and he was heartbroken, you know, from basketball. That was his first love, you know. That right. was truly his first love. And my mother respected that, and she knew that. And she always spoke extremely highly of him, his talents, his passions. And she became an extreme basketball head herself and told me a lot of stories before she died as well. So, and she was right there. So that's right. something that I'll hold near and dear as well.
Rest in peace to your wonderful mother.
Thank
Sandy.
You.
She was definitely incredible. She was like a second mom to me when y'all stayed next door. You know,
man.
I was always over there.
Man,
I was always
too.
At you your
know,
house.
You know how we were about each other's mother. So same to you, cousin.
Oh,
you know,
thank
we,
you.
We had it hard, but your mom was an angel. I call her my angel over there. So
I really appreciate it. Yeah, they both are missed. And,
yeah.
you know, this conversation, even about the mental health thing, the aspect that you just brought up, it gets deep like that because sometimes, especially with us men,
yeah.
our self-worth is wrapped up in what we do.
Right.
You understand? Like how I provide, how I take care of my family.
Right.
And if I'm leaning on something and it's snatched away from me.
Right.
Some men, we don't ever recover from that.
No. And looking back on it, Raymond got up and went to work. He went to warehouses. He went and tried to get coaching jobs. But you know what the number one question was? What happened to you? Like every mm-hmm. day, he mm-hmm. was reminded of what happened to him. And I can only imagine showing up to my paralegal job every day or my nursing job every day and someone reminding me of this trauma constantly. So I get it now. You know what I mean, cousin? I get it now.
Right. Right. And that's amazing that you come to that point because us as kids, I'm right there with you. Like, we don't get it. We don't
yeah.
know.
We
thinking about how we feel and how it's affecting us. And,
right.
and it's hard to look outside of yourself. It's not until you get older, maybe have some kids of your own or go
right.
through your own trials and tribulations that you like, wait a minute, like life hit hard.
It really does.
It hits hard and where you think you're strong at, life can hit you in your chest and make you weak exactly
right.
there. So
right.
you got to be careful and kind of give people grace,
and
especially
compassion.
Him being that age, the age he was like you said, 19, 18, 19, 20, the decisions we make then. Oh man, I'm glad I don't have to pay for some of those
man.
Decisions I made, you know, when I was 19, 20,
man.
21, like
it'd
we
be
all
over
make,
for me if I had to do that.
Man, just imagine, like, we all made mistakes at that age.
Right.
It was just for him, the stakes were so high because he was so
high.
Gifted.
Yeah. They were extremely high, and I also feel like the fix was in, although
mm-hmm.
for 6 to 8 years after that 76ers incident, he was at every training camp, every, you know, he made the Clippers, he made the, you know, I want to tell the whole documentary, but he made other teams, you know what I mean? And right before, and he couldn't play. They wouldn't allow him to play. It was a legality then. And who won? It was devastating. It was
right.
extremely devastating. So, again, it's historical. It has a lot of things in there that I think a lot of people, I'm getting a lot of feedback from younger podcasters and younger people that are just like, wow, like, who would have thought? And we're in 2022, about to be 2023, and we're talking about the 1970s that players were even treated like this. And people renegotiate contracts and act way worse than what Raymond could have ever been, you know?
Right, right. And the fact that he had the talent to back up what he was saying, too. That was the thing. Like, he was clearly a better player.
Right.
Doug Collins.
Also, they also took to me, you know, I'm biased. Of course, I'm his daughter, right? But I'm going to tell the truth that if how I feel. I think they took that him being, he knew his worth. And whether if he was talking to his cousin or whether he was talking to the GM at, you know, for the 76ers, Raymond knew his worth when it came to basketball. He was an aficionado. He knew the stats to not just himself, but to all the players. He breathed and lived basketball. So he knew his worth. And when he wanted his contract renegotiated, they took that like, excuse me, and we're going to make you pay for that. And to me, it was a form of buck breaking, you know, to me, you know, and that's just my opinion.
Right. No, I would agree with you. And if I'm not mistaken, like you said, I don't want to give away the whole documentary.
Yeah.
wasn't he on the bench and they went to whether it was coach or him and said, hey, if you play him 1 second.
Yep.
That's crazy.
It was the San Antonio Spurs, I believe, but they were called something else then. And he made the team. He was suited up. He was laced up. And right before the game started, the front office called, you know, their office, 76ers office called their office, and it was like, nope, you playing, you're getting sued, period. And that happened for the rest of his, until he was, you know, 30 years old. And after that, then, you know, it's pretty much finito. He could not play. They were not going to let him play, and because they were going to make an example of him, of what happens when you buck or go against the system.
Wow. This is an incredible documentary. I've seen it. Please, if you guys, you know, have Prime, if you got iTunes, whatever,
yeah,
put it in your Google search, Raymond Lewis. Go to RaymondLewis.com. It's a link to, you know, where you can get it there. But check it out. Show it to the people you know. If you got young cousins trying to play basketball, show it to them, because a lot of times we don't know our history. We don't know about the people that paved the way for us. You know, it's a lot of young kids that's getting scholarships now that, you know, they're reaping the benefits of a Raymond Lewis going through the door first and taking all the shots.
Absolutely.
You know, it's always those people that are before their time that go in and try to do things, and, you know, the system shuts them down, but everybody else behind them benefits.
Right. And I know Raymond is in basketball heaven, just very happy that he was able to make this, you know, that something was to come from his pain. So that's what keeps me going. That's what I know keeps you going, because you knew the man very well, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know what kind of guy he was. And I'm just excited about it. I'm excited that it can teach some lessons, and I'm hoping to, you know, do a book that where I can open up on a little more about him as a person and how he got so good. And because it just didn't fall out the sky. He worked extremely hard at his craft, and that's what he did.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Well, Camila, I'm not gonna hold you. Thank you for your time. I know you're busy handling your business, but I just want to let you know I'm proud of the documentary. I'm proud of you for staying with it, sticking with it, not quitting, not giving up, making sure that this came to life, because this is definitely important. And I've been reading reviews. I've seen it myself. It's an amazing documentary. And I'm going to let you tell everybody anything you want them to know. Go ahead. Give your shout out to all of that.
Well, nothing speaks more than the documentary. You know, a lot of people are just amazed that I've grown up with, people that have known me, that know Raymond, knew Raymond. Of all the information that you can get in this documentary, it's not just a basketball film. It's a film of the ages. It talks about, you know, racial discrimination. It also talks about socioeconomic issues. And I just want people to watch it and, you know, watch it with some of our younger generation again, like you mentioned. I think this is something that they should see, especially for some of our West Coast hoopers. You know, we don't get to pay homage the way some of the East Coast hoopers are played homage. So I just want people to watch it. I want them to enjoy it, leave reviews, and, you know, just continue to look out to see what, you know, hopefully it'll be in a theater near all of us. It did wonderful at Beverly Hills theatrical release, but we're trying to get it everywhere. We'll be in Philly next to make some noise out there. So I'm hoping that the NBA will at least acknowledge Raymond and what happened to him.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So y'all heard it from the princess, Camila Lewis, you know, the daughter of Raymond Lewis. Y'all, please go stream this. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. Whether you're into basketball or not, really check out this story, because it's important. It's very important that we, you know, pay homage to all the people that came before us and they put it down, you know? So Camila, once again, thank you for calling in, Cuzzo. And
course,
I'm gonna talk
Patrick,
to you soon.
Anything for you. And I love your show. Thank you again for giving me this highlighted time.
Anytime. Anytime.
Right,
thank you.
Talk
you take care. All right. Bye.
Thank you once again to Camila Lewis for taking the time out of her day to call in regarding her father's documentary, Raymond Lewis. Y'all go to RaymondLewis.com, check it out, support. It's an amazing story. You know what I mean? You get the backstory of an LA legend. They tell you everything from top to bottom. They interview a lot of former NBA players, so you get to see exactly what went on at that time. So shout out to her. But let's keep the show rolling. You know, I feel like playing the song of the day, and the song of the day is going to be Roses. Why is it going to be Roses? Because the video is out now. Go to YouTube, check it out. Way more visuals are on the way. I also released a new song called Good Girls, available on all streaming platforms. But let's get into Roses right now, all right? Hot 702.5, the King's Hour. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me my roses while I'm here. Don't wait till I up and disappear. Oh no,
nah.
Ahead of my time and it's clear.
And it's clear.
You still ain't noticed the dime in a gym. Oh
shiny,
no,
shiny,
I feel
shiny,
my heart and it better know that.
Know that.
The passion I have in every moment.
Every moment.
Hey, this ain't for sure, y'all.
Nah.
I give my all to the last one fall.
Uh-huh.
Roses.
People seem to be confused when you making moves. Can't understand my perspective unless you take my shoes. Play the cards that I've been dealt, I truly hate to lose. Ain't no situation I've been in, I felt I can't improve. Never been a hater, that ain't in my blood. Even if you rise above where I'm at, I'll show you love. Odds stacked against us, living up in the trenches. Seeing murders that's senseless, that'll make you relentless. Had to change my mind state to say I'm acting funny. Cause I was either with my family or stacking money. Can't be wasting my time, I see the bigger picture. And just because I ain't with you don't mean that I'm against you. Life's a test, we all trying to get it figured out. Different destinations, so we gotta take some different routes. Some people love taking advantage, so with some real ones by your side, never take it for granted.
Give me my roses while I'm here. Don't wait till I up and disappear, oh no,
nah.
Ahead of my time and it's clear.
And it's clear.
You still ain't noticed the dime in a gym, oh
shiny,
no,
shiny,
I feel my
shiny
heart and it better know that.
Know that.
The passion I have in every moment,
every moment.
Hey, this ain't for sure, y'all,
nah.
I give my all to the last one fall.
Uh-huh.
Roses.
Firstborn, had to figure it all out. A young man feeling lost when my father was out the house. Mama did what she could, we living up in the hood. Auntie Laurie buying us groceries, making sure that we good. Certain memories will never leave my mind. Can never picture having children and just leaving them behind. All that substance abuse had my father in the bind. He finally got sober, I say now he's doing fine. I realized it's easy to criticize. That truly just isn't wise. You doubt me, just give it time. We all flawed and dealing with different things. Even the best among us is not as clean as they seem. You got me by your side, we gon' ride through whatever. Most people abandon ship at the first sign of stormy weather. I can't help but to be real, so ain't no need to fake it. And I don't need nothing from you, just appreciate it.
Give me my roses while I'm here. Don't wait till I up and disappear, oh no,
nah.
Ahead of my time and it's clear.
And it's clear.
You still ain't noticed the dime in a gym, oh
shiny,
no,
shiny,
I feel my
shiny
heart and it better know that.
Know that.
The passion I have in every moment,
every moment.
Hey, this ain't for sure, y'all,
nah.
I give my all to the last one fall.
Uh-huh.
My rights and my wrongs, I put them all in these rhymes. So when I'm writing these songs, you get a glimpse of my mind. You can't pull them along, have to leave some people behind. Cause some people are prone to take you off of your grind. The ones that you love, don't ever take it for granted. Waiting for tomorrow and today, something can happen, yep. How we spending every day, that's what we control. Or watch your dreams go down the drain like that movie Soul. No, so many greats are still breathing. Let's give them their flowers now and I wait until they leave it. And we grieving like I wonder if they knew how much they were appreciated. Many times they never do. Don't ever be offended cause you see I'm trying to win. Why you hoping that I lose when you supposed to be my friend? I see you acting funny, time to get off in the wind. Let me down when I need it, you won't get that chance again.
Give me my roses while I'm here. Don't wait till I up and disappear, oh no. Nah. Ahead of my time and it's clear.
And it's clear.
You still ain't noticed the dime and it's gym, oh no.
Shine.
Heart and it better know that.
Know that.
The passion I have in every moment.
Every moment.
Hey, this ain't for sure, y'all.
Nah.
I get my all to the last one fall.
Uh-huh.
Roses.
That was my song called Roses, available on all streaming platforms. You know, basically just about appreciate the people that's real with you. Appreciate the people that's here. You know, you never know what tomorrow may hold. So don't just take people for granted, baby. Treat them right. If you got good people in your corner, treat them right. And I guarantee you, you won't regret it. You know what I mean? So check it out. And on another note, I know I can't be the only one that's getting excited for Christmas now. You know, ride down the street, you seeing all the Christmas lights up, you hearing more Christmas music, seeing the Christmas commercials. You know I can't be the only one that, this is my favorite holiday, hands down. Christmas is my favorite holiday. And, you know, it's close to a brother's birthday. My birthday on January 5th, so, you know what I mean? It lets me know I'm getting close to that, so. But Christmas, always have a great time. Looking forward to being off. You know, if you into the movie The Best Man, if you've ever seen it, The Best Man, like I told y'all, they got a series coming on. It's called The Best Man Final Chapters. Everybody's coming back. Tay Diggs, Terrence Howard, Nia Long, Sanaa Lathan. It's going to be incredible. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's one of my favorite movies, The Best Man. And it's going to be a lot of holiday basketball games and family going to be around. Presents going to be exchanged. It's always a good, good time at Christmas. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully y'all feeling the same. I'm so glad that I was able to get that interview done with Camila. We have been talking about it for weeks, but you know, the schedules and everything else, you know, we out here grinding, trying to feed our families. So, you know, sometimes the schedules don't line up, but we was able to make it happen and I'm glad we did. Y'all please go, like I said, I'm gonna keep saying it during this episode. Y'all go check out that documentary, Raymond Lewis, LA Basketball Legend. It's a lot more interviews, a lot more content on the way. We may even start doing some things on the Strip live so y'all can, you know, hear the people and everything like that, being that we are in Vegas, you know, so y'all stay tuned for that. I got some music artists, I got some authors, a lot of different people gonna be on the King's Hour. And you know, it's always going to be informative. It's always going to be positive. We here to uplift, baby. I don't do the gossiping stuff about different people's relationships, business I know nothing about. That's not what this show is about. It's about uplifting. It's about informing. It's about celebrating good music and giving people their flowers while they still here. You feel me? You know, so let's get into this word of the week. This week, I want to tell you, it's okay for you to choose you. You are not selfish by choosing you. You are not selfish by standing up for yourself. You are not selfish by not letting people run over you and take your kindness for weakness. Now, if you evil-hearted, I'm not talking to you. If you just a naturally mean person, I'm not speaking to you. I'm talking to the good-hearted people that try to do right, that try to be that shoulder to cry on for people, that try to look out. Oftentimes, those are the people that's getting taken advantage of, because people will take your niceness for weakness. Believe that. But don't feel like you have to please everybody. You can't save everybody. That's not your job. And you can't give so much where you're empty. You empty inside because you gave everything you had. That's not noble. If you have to love you first before you truly can love other people. So make sure you're taken care of. And if people keep crossing your boundaries, crossing the lines that you've drawn out, then those are the people you need to stay away from because they don't respect you. And it's that simple. You know, sometimes we can say, oh, am I doing too? No, you're not. If you're protecting yourself and you're doing what's best for you and you know in your heart what you're doing is right, then you need to stand on that. You got to protect you. You are not selfish by protecting you. Remember that. Pray for them, but you may need to stay away from them. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. That's my word of the week. You are not selfish by choosing you. Remember that. And since we got a little more time, I'm going to go ahead and play one more song. And then we're going to close the show, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. This has been the King's Hour. I'm going to see y'all here next week, same time. Yeah. Hot 702.5.
Nigga, the mission's to get what you don't got. The struggle, it don't stop until we drop.
Crazy
drop,
bone and ice.
The best thing in life is life. Get your mind right, and get your grind right.
We gotta keep going. Hey.
To my eyes, if you wanna know me, before you hypnotize, homie, what do you see? A figure that's just a little bigger than dealers. A hustler count figures, ain't pulled no triggers. Can you dig us? We be the ultimate lick. We's the hitters that make the ultimate hits. Kinda bossy, kinda bossy. It's got to be done my way. Do what the I say, top of the pyramid, homie, what I tell you, if you lead us west side, umbrella, you hit the cellar, bring me my slippers, black robe, and my globe, and I can rule the world with my eyes closed, with my eyes closed.
See the lessons to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top, you better go get it, it's yours. Nigga, the lessons to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Crazy bone and ice cube.
See the lessons to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top, you better go get it.
To all the little homies that's watching TV, I see you trying to be an OG like me, chasing dreams, pulling more schemes for wealth, but the best thing in life is health. Be yourself, player. Television, it'll keep your ass wishing forever. You'll never get your life together. Don't talk about death, I got too much life to live. Too many orders to give. What it is, showbiz. Taught you what a trick and a hoe is. Showed you what a 64 is. Lord knows, in God we trust, and everybody in the world wanna be like us. Everybody.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's your nigga. The missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Crazy bone and ice cube.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's your nigga. The missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
To the kids of the world that's waiting for wealth, waiting for help, you better do for self. Homie, that's your last cup. Forget about the fast buck. Boy, get your ass up. People use your brain to gain. Do something that ain't never been done. And we can spend huns. Wipe our ass with 20s, light our joints with ones. Throw away the guns, have nothing but fun. And homie, we can do that shit. Police have a fit when your paper's legit. We got to get off the phone, we got to teach our own. Send your baby to school and she'll come back grown. We got to talk to our grandmas and she'll help us through them dark halls and them pitfalls. Everybody know we got the world to gain. We got to stop the pain, Lord stop the brain.
Lord stop the brain. See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's your nigga. The missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Crazy bone and ice cube.
See the missus to get what we don't got, until we 50 rich and on top. You better go get it, it's your nigga. The missus to get what you don't got, the struggle that don't stop until we drop.
Keep going, little homie, why you slowing? Keep rolling, little homie, why you slowing? Keep rolling, little homie, why you slowing? Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Hey, young thug, the world is yours. Hey, young thug, the world is yours. Hey, young thug, the world is yours. Yeah, young thug, the world is yours. Hey, young thug, the world is yours. Hey, young thug, the world is yours. Hey, young thug, the world is yours.
Yeah, one of my favorite Ice Cube records featuring Crazy Bone is called Until We Rich. Something, you know, uplifting, something I used to listen to on my way to work every day on the bus, catching the bus from LA all the way to Santa Monica to work at Jamba Juice. That was like my second job after working at the Magic Johnson Theaters. That was like my first job. So, you know, brings back memories. I remember writing rhymes to that record. And I remember saying to myself, I want to make music that has, you know, a message in it. I just don't want to be on here just talking negative, you know. And I made that decision real early. And it's been working out for me. I'll say that, you know what I mean? And I'm going to stick to my guns no matter what. You got to be like that. Stick to your guns no matter what, baby. Always be you. And I just want to give a big thank you to you guys for tuning in. Those people that listen to me every week, that hit me up, send me emails and send me messages telling me how much they enjoy the show. I really appreciate y'all time, because I know you could be doing something else. So I really appreciate it. And that's about all the time for me. Thank y'all for tuning in to the King's Hour. Every Saturday, 1 to 2 on this beautiful station, Hot 702.5. Tune in next week, baby. Yeah.